two great prophecies in the Bible that concern Jesus and the coming of the Holy Spirit. One was given in Joel 2:28, when God says, I'll pour out my Spirit on all people. And in John 16:7, Jesus said that it was better for him to go away. He said, if I don't go away, it'll be to your advantage that I go away. Because if I don't go, Jesus said, the Helper will not come to you. That's the Holy Spirit. But if I depart, if I go, the Holy Spirit will come to you. I want to say this morning that, you know, I week after week try my best to bring the Word of God and make it as alive as I can for you lot and for the people who watch online, to take the truth of God's grace and God's love and to unpack it in such a way that it makes sense to everyday life. That's what I believe my job is to do, and I do it week after week. And I suppose, you know, what has been growing in me personally, and I want to say it this morning, is this, is that all of my best efforts to teach grace will come to nothing if you don't encounter the Spirit of grace. Because grace has a face, and his name is Jesus. And the Holy Spirit of God, his Spirit, is the Spirit of grace. And when you encounter Jesus, not just with words and with concepts in the Bible, but you actually encounter him Spirit to Spirit, then your life changes. And that's what happened on Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit came, it was a culmination of thousands of years of prophecy, where God said, it's better for Jesus to go to be at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and if he goes, you all will receive the same measure of God in you. He's called the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is the very power by which we live today. And you know, it's remiss of us to think that we can live without the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It really is remiss. And I have felt a little bit chastised by the Lord and an awful lot more encouraged by him to say, you know, as it says in Exodus 9:16, but for this purpose I have raised you up, Exchange Church, to show you my power so that my name may be proclaimed in all of the earth. One thing that is clear to me is that in this church, that we need all of us to grasp again what it's like to walk and be led by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because otherwise church and Christianity becomes very dull, and it doesn't really matter about the grace message, actually, if the Holy Spirit of God is not, you're not walking and cooperating with the Spirit of God every day in your life to make those promises real. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. I know in my life, and I've made fun, which is probably not right, but you know, of many times being in some of the most freakishly charismaniac meetings that have possibly been known to man, where actually, you know, it all started off, remember, in Castle Wellan in like 1984, way before early days of the fellowship. I remember my ma telling me the story of one guy being in the meeting, and I think there was a lot of deliverance and stuff going on. And this guy wasn't a Christian, so he went outside to have a fag because he was absolutely panicking. he said, I think somebody went out to check on him. He was all right. He said, listen here, see when all them things are cast out, where do they go? Because I can't breathe in there. You know what I mean? So he was like holding his breath because he breathed in a demon. And it's a true story, isn't it? Brilliant. And panicking. Flipping heck. And then through all sorts of other experiences, getting weirded out by stuff that went on 20-odd years ago in the Toronto Blessing, which I lived right through. And God undoubtedly did something in people's lives and blessed them. And whenever God moves, it's never nice and neat and tidy and in a box. That's not the way God works. I think he surprises us. I think that he shows us sometimes that our ways of thinking, whilst we may have it all knocked down and all organized for ourselves, it's kind of not the way that he works. And so I remember being equally in awe and equally weirded out all at the same time by what God was doing. I remember coming, I was actually away on holiday, and I came back and I thought, God, what has happened to my church? And God, in that journey, spoke this verse, 1 Corinthians 4:20, to me, the kingdom of God doesn't consist in talk, Andrew, but it consists in power. And the word there is dunamis. It's used 120 times in the New Testament. And what God showed me was this, that the word, the power of God, was maybe just not what I'd experienced in terms of people barking, running round the walls, and generally making me feel dead uncomfortable. The word dunamis is actually the ability of God in you to live for God. That's what it means. It means the power of God in you to help you to live for God, to help you to live the way that God calls you to live. And so the sense for me, I started to understand. I started to go, okay, God, you're not trying to embarrass me. You're not trying to freak me out. You're not trying to, you know, I was the best knee locker in the whole of the Western church. I would have stood in prayer lines, right? And if I had the slightest sense that you were exerting even an ounce of pressure, I used to lock in. And then it became a battle of wills, not between me and the Lord to be blessed, but it was a battle of wills because you push harder and I'm locking in all the more. And the really clever prayers in the lines, what they would have done is to put their hand on your back and exerted pressure like that just to get you to topple. And I'm going to be honest, there was only one time in my life where I just thought, ox sod it. Do you know what I mean? So I went over like a sack of spuds and then I lay there. One eye going. Because then it's not only the falling over, then you have that thing of how long do you lie down there in order to be holy? Because if you get up straight away, obviously God didn't do anything. If you lie there for too long, it gets a wee bit embarrassing and the whole meeting goes on around you. Remember those people who just used to lie there and you think, I'll just let them be, they'll be all right. And then so for me, there was always this kind of thing of going, right? So you used to lie like that, one eye open. Big eye, right? Now I think I'm safe, up again. And then you always had to go, man, just, oh, it's so good. Listen, I had it all worked out. I had it all worked out. Has anyone ever done that? Please, God, say, even what, I see that hand at the back. There's bound to be more than one, or I'm not even a Christian. Come on. Okay. You're all much more holy than me. And then I have this revelation in my life of God saying, Andrew, whenever you receive the Holy Spirit, there's a couple of things. Number one, when the Holy Spirit is moving, he always brings glory to Jesus. So the attention is not on the people and the manifestation. The attention is on Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit's job is to make his love and his grace and his promises and his truth alive to you and real to you. And whenever the Holy Spirit is moving, how do you know? Glory goes to God. And then secondly, he said, the dunamis power, the power of God in your life, is to help you to live for me. It's to make love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, all of these things that you want to see, healing and restoration, forgiveness. The dunamis power of God is simply this, not the crazy manifestation. If it happens, fine. I'm really not that interested in chasing it. What I'm interested in, though, is having the ability of God in me to help me to live for God. And so we're going to pray for people this morning. You might think the Holy Spirit's not for today, something to do with Jesus in the early church, but he kind of left and he ain't coming back. Holy Spirit might just be all wee bit misty to you, and we are going to do a lot more teaching and emphasis as a church on the ministry of the Holy Spirit in these next months. So you might just think it's a wee bit deep and mystical. A dangerous one is you might think the Holy Spirit is your goalkeeper. Every time you open yourself up to God, what he'll do is he'll continually point out your faults, each and every one. Every day, you know, the Holy Spirit is there to go, you got it wrong, you got it wrong. You know, when you go, God, and you just have that negative voice going, oh, you screwed up again. That's not the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit never, ever, ever, ever. He convicts the world of sin, and he convicts the people of God of their righteousness. There's a whole teaching in that. Holy Spirit doesn't make you feel bad. He continually convicts you that you are righteous and holy and pure before God. That's his ministry. And so what I wanted to do today is simply say to people, in James 1:22, it's like we want to be doers of the word and not hearers only. We don't want to deceive ourselves. We don't want to have wrong thinking and wrong theology and all the rest of it that takes us away from who we are called to be. We're called to be men and women who encounter Jesus every day. I am so grateful that I grew up in a church that had an emphasis on a ministry of the Holy Spirit, where early on in my years, I was able to encounter God in a real way to me. Sure, lots of craziness mixed in there, but lots and lots and lots of moments of encounter where I was able to receive the power of God. And so this morning, quite simply, what I wanted to do was this, was to say to some people, with God, there's nothing impossible. Today is a day, and for us, it's just not going to be a day that we talk about the Holy Spirit because it's Pentecost and we move on. There's something really significant, I believe, that God is wanting to do in your lives and in my life and in this church. And one thing I understand is this, that a whole lot more of us need to be switched on to the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, myself included. I may have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit 25 years ago now, okay? But it doesn't mean that every day I don't need to come to God and say, God, you know what? I don't want to lose that moment and have a form of godliness in my life and no power in it. I want to encounter you in presence and in power every day. I want your ability to flow right through me. I want every good gift that you have for me, God. And the only way I can access that is through the Holy Spirit. Just to be really clear, the Holy Spirit is equally God. It's not an it, not a force, not a mystical shield around you. It is. There's lots of words in the Bible, in the Old Testament. The main one is Ruach. It means the breath of God. It means literally the breath of God living in you. In the New Testament, the word primarily used is the Greek word pneuma, and it literally is the breath of God in you. As God breathes his life through his very Spirit, the same Spirit that caused Jesus to live and to operate the way that he did as a man, that same very Spirit is breathed into you today as a believer in Christ. Isn't that incredible? Does that sound good to people? Okay, this is where I do need a show of hands. Who today has a need in their life? Physical, emotional, spiritual. Okay. Who would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit today who's never received it, or at least have somebody pray for you? Okay, one, come on, let's not be embarrassed. 2, 3, 4, 5. Awesome. Can I tell you the first time somebody prayed for me to receive God like this into my life? It was actually in the basement in CFC. And it smelled moldy and stinking. And there's about 70 kids in it. And it was all sort of just sweaty and smelly kids and feet and all sorts of stuff. And I remember thinking, God, if you can meet me in here, you can meet me anywhere. And somebody came along and prayed. And there's people dropping around me like flies all over the place. And I was like I said, I'm a knee locker. I'm not going down unless it's God, right? And so I stood there, and somebody very enthusiastically prayed for me with included head tapping. I don't know. I think was that shaking the Holy Spirit down? Like, let's shake him right down to your feet, okay? I don't know what that was, but it was sore, so don't do that. And I remember thinking, and then somebody very wise came along, actually, and afterwards just said, here's what you do. You just believe and receive. It's as simple as that. See this kind of sort of mental gymnastics thing and spiritual gymnastics about, oh, it's like the Holy Spirit ninja will come if you can, oh, like the dove from above. You know, remember Bob Mortimer? But, but actually he said to me, if you ask God and you believe that he gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit, then you'll have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then just open your mouth and start to speak in tongues. And I was like, how do you do that? He said, well, how do you speak normally? And I said, well, just open my mouth and talk. He said, well, do that and let the Lord birth a new language in you. And that was the start of something completely and utterly dynamic in my life. I didn't jump around. I didn't, you know, fall over. I didn't holler and bark like a chicken. I didn't do any of that stuff. I simply barked like a dog and clucked like a chicken. I always get that wrong. What I simply did was I simply believed that God had nothing bad to give me. Because he can't give me bad things. He can only give me good things. Is that good? Yeah? So what I want to do is, who's praying this morning? We had some people who were... Right. Everybody stand to your feet.